So namaste and welcome to this week four update for the graduate program homework. And in part one, we're going to be going through, we'll do it in over two parts. just before we get started, I want to just remind everyone that the cutoff point is 6 p.m. on Tuesday, UK time, to send in homework. And if you send it in later than that, it will roll over into the next week. So we'll still have it. But it won't get in this week's feedback. Also, just to remind everyone that the live session is this Saturday coming at 2 p.m. UK time. And you'll need to, if you're new to the graduate program, you'll need to log in to where you're looking at these recordings and click the link for the Zoom link for the live session. And just before we get started, finally, just to let you know that today we're going to do things a little bit differently. I have Maggie online with me, who's graciously offered to help me. Hi, Maggie. And Maggie's going to read aloud the homework feedback just to help me with my dyslexia. So it's easier for her to read them aloud and send, and then I can give the feedback on that. So just to let you know that as people are going to be doing this to help me throughout the sessions, whoever is reading it aloud has anonymously got the homework. Nobody knows who sent the homework in. So thanks, Maggie. Whenever you're ready, if you'd like to get started with the first one.
Yes, here we go. First one says, thank you, Helen. I cannot express my gratitude enough. With applying this month's lesson, I am feeling a subtle, gentle shifting. During the Satsang intensive last Sunday, a lot of emotions surfaced, like shame, fear, sense of powerless, unsafety, and unworthiness. I noticed that the suffering was less intense. The identification was for a short period of time. Followed by this awareness that those emotions are happening in me, not to me. And even the contemplation from this place is different. I found that I still have this belief that I am not fully embodied in the self yet. I need to have more physical embodiment. And then I have this thought that there is nobody to embody this. Could you speak about this belief of I am not fully there? I need more time, maybe one more month, or I need to see the changed physical reflection of this before believing that I am that already. I love you.
Thank you. And I love you too. And thanks for sending that in. And intensives tend to bring up things. Definitely, I know they would do for me. A concentrated form of satsang, so to speak, or retreats is going to bring to the surface whatever we are still identifying with to any degree. And of course, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. But like you said, just looking at why we tend to identify. And actually, this is right on target because this is what we're going to be looking at the whole month of July. Why do we have this feeling that we're not there yet? Why do we compare ourselves to a group of beings like in an intensive or in the graduate program? And conclude that we're not where we want to be, or we're not where they are, or we're not where the teacher is, or something. And really, it's because we are still, how ego works is that it is always comparing two things, one thing to another. As we've said, it's always in comparison. It can only work in duality, and it takes a picture of where we think we are and where we would like to be, and it says, okay, or where some other person is, and says, well, we're not there yet, because this person, this other being, or the teacher or somebody is reflecting more peace, more love, more joy, and I don't look like that. I'm not experiencing like that yet. So if we continue to measure progress through ego, we're always going to feel that we haven't yet arrived. And that is because the body and mind are always going to be reflecting this, seeing deeper. And as we see clearer, that reflection is going to get ever clearer, just as it still is for me now. Every day it's deepening in the mind and body against an absolute sense of I am that, have always been that, can never not be that. And so as you see that this is how ego works, you can begin to recognize this feeling, I'm not there yet, I need more, I need another satsang, I need another intensive, I need another whatever it is, as ego's comparison mechanism. And comparing these two stages, for want of a better word, is never going to be, never going to feel fulfilling for us. So we can begin to replace this with, I am that. I already have seen what I've seen. It's deepened as much as it's deepened in this moment. And then as we move forward, the body and mind are going to keep reflecting that forever. It's because ego is really looking for a finish line, isn't it? I'll know when I'm there because it was, and then it has a whole list of things that it's looking for. And as we begin to see that that's how it works, that evolution and deeper reflection is not change or progress, it's just evolution and deeper reflection, then we can come to feel more peaceful. I can relax that I'm already here. I'm already what I want to be. I'm already living as that as much as I can in this moment. And as I keep seeing deeper, and I'm coming to satsang just because I want to see clearer, not for any other reason, not for any sense that I'm, or lessening sense that I'm not there yet. And then we'll begin to relax and the evolution occurs faster than anyway. We all have a certain set of emotions that come up, thoughts that come up, and situations in our life that when they happen, we identify as a being in time and space. So let's just say fear comes up and we look at that fear and say it shouldn't be happening. It means I'm not there yet. Whereas we can switch, as we're learning in lesson two and three, to being the self and say, well, there's just fear. And as you've pointed out, less and less identification with it, much, much easier to come back to peace. Really less meaning given to what comes up. It's just what's coming up to be processed. And I'm dealing with it better than I was last time. And as you cultivate this kind of attitude, there might be stuff coming up for a while as I work through the remains of these egoic beliefs. But I don't have to use that as evidence, don't have to form a conclusion that I'm not there yet. So I'm really glad you brought this up, and I hope that helps you. Thank you. When you're ready, Maggie.
My experience bringing my awareness back to the noumenon feels as though I never left. Memories, nor judgment, nor measurements of how far or near I may be are not relevant. There is a restlessness that says, this cannot be it, it's too simple. And yet I keep refocusing. What simple seems to simplify everything else. I can see other possibilities arising because the intensity of my attention on what I don't want is lifted. It's as if bringing my attention back to the self is like watering a plant that grows into my being, and yet it was always here. What is growing is my recognition. The more attention I give it, the more it feels like home. And the more I would seem to stray from this knowing, the more I know that straying is not possible. My ego's indiscretions lose their impact and meaning. The more I bring my attention back, the more evident it becomes that I never left. I'm questioning everything and bringing it into myself. What I've been sure of is loosening. All the meaning that I've assigned to different happenings dissolve as I bring everything back to this moment. I am a planner and a troubleshooter, and even that I am unable to do from this space. I seem to be able to take the step that is in front of me, perhaps because there is a worry energy and lack of trust associated with these activities. I am now bringing the restlessness I feel inward, which feels like resistance that I can feel in my body. Can you talk about this?
Okay, So that's beautiful homework as always. And I love the analogy of the plant and watering the plant. And it just gets clearer and clearer every day that if we simply bring our attention back to the noumenon, to the real self, no matter what is occurring, we'll find a simple and easy solution to something. And if we let our attention stay with thoughts, it will seem complicated, drawn out, difficult, the complete opposite, really. So I love that you're really getting that deeper and deeper and deeper, that the only safe haven then is the self, because if I go into time and space, I get tangled in this knot of beliefs, and suddenly I can't even see a clear solution to anything because I'm so bogged down with the energy of ego and separation that I can't even see clearly. So more and more, we just kind of step away from trying to fix a problem from there, from ego. Even if it seems it really needs fixing, we'll still take our attention back to the self as soon as we can, back to the noumenon, right back to lesson one again, just focusing on the noumenon. And then anything that needs to get fixed still, or any steps we need to take, will just get clearer, won't they? It's easier then to kind of navigate through anything. And this restlessness, it's very common. And I remember feeling that kind of way myself, that something inside, some fragment of ego, is still identifying as the doer. It wants to do things, sort things out. It wants to transcend these problems. It wants to solve them and fix them. As you said, a problem solver, troubleshooter. That really is the ego, isn't it? It's a troubleshooter. It's looking for trouble to fix. And so if you can see that that's really how it works, and as you disidentify with that and you just bring attention back to the noumenon, knowing whatever the body needs to do, it will do, then there's something inside kind of going, yes, but yes, but yes, but, you know, what do I do about this? What do I do about this? And it's a kind of an energy that hasn't settled yet. You've kind of got some free energy in the body, where you no longer are less and less identifying with the ego sense of having to do something, having to find a problem and fix it. And the energy hasn't quite settled back yet into peace. So you might find kind of a restlessness. For me, it was like that. And there's also a restlessness because perhaps for the first time in my life, I felt I had more energy than I needed. It was a strange thing for me, having sort of dragged myself through every day, just getting to the end of the day, suddenly having more than enough energy. Felt a little bit restless. It was a little, at first it felt like agitation almost, like I just couldn't sit still. And then it settled into the recognition that there was just a lot of energy freed up from identifying with all these beliefs that had been leaking energy through all of these beliefs, and suddenly I had this excess, and I found myself doing a lot more things with my time, getting a lot more done, being a lot more efficient with it. You probably find it settles down. It's just this kind of fragment of ego that's going, yes, but this isn't going to get fixed if you just don't identify. How are you going to resolve this issue? How are you going to get this sorted out? How are you going to make it work? So just notice that restlessness and treat it like any other emotion or sensation. It just comes and it will go. And your energy in the body will find its own pathway through. It will find some kind of equilibrium. It's just this do urge, isn't it, of a someone got to do something to prove my worthiness and all of that. So wonderful to hear of your progress and your feedback, and keep going, keep deepening, and keep letting the attention just come back to the self. That's the only answer in the end, isn't it, that works. Everything else is just hard work. Lovely.
Next one. One of the recent experiences of this body this month is having shingles. It started a week ago as what I thought were bug bites and then kept progressing. I knew nothing about shingles and have been adapting to the stabbing pains and trying to question the resistance as it arises. There's nothing quite like body pain to keep the mind focused on the body. It seems counterproductive to create pain and things to overcome over and over. I can see how this reflects the thought I can't get what I want, and things can come out of the blue to hurt me. When I identified with the body, there sure seems to be a sense of endlessly being trapped in cause and effectuality. I can see the many emotional stories and beliefs as they arise and fall away. Can you help untangle the helplessness that comes and goes with physical pain? Thanks so much, Helen.
Good. And I haven't had experience with shingles myself, but one of my close family has, and I know just how painful that can be from what they have told me. And as you said, it is, well, any physical pain can make it hard for attention to go anywhere else in the body, or in the, you know, even to bring our attention back to the noumenon can seem challenging when we're in a lot of physical pain. But you are already doing the right thing. You're seeing the beliefs that are perpetuated, that this the physical condition in the body is a reflection of. So you've pointed out sort of waiting for what Louise Hay says about shingles, that it in her work, waiting for the other shoe to drop. So this belief, as you've pointed to, that at any point something is going to go wrong, you know, some life is going to slap me somehow, and all I can do is kind of assume the crash position and hope to minimize the impact, that I have no control over this. And I remember going through this myself in a different, it manifested in a different way in my life, but that these big whammies were just going to keep on hitting me, and I had to just endure them and get through them and try to do my best with them. And I really had to look at this sense of why am I sort of fearing this process of awakening? Because that's really what it is about, some sense that the actual transcending the karmic patterns is going to be horrible. It's going to be difficult. My life has to fall apart, as we often see this belief reflected in somebody's life during awakening, particularly this stage after seeing is deepening and we're working through the karmic patterns, that some horrible thing has to happen to snap me out of them. And of course, if that's the belief deep down in ego, because we all believe deep down, at least initially, that awakening is hard, that it's a sacrifice, that it's extremely difficult, and that only a few get there. So with that kind of belief, we're going into our process of disidentifying with ego and dissolving its patterns. We're going to be kind of internally assuming the crash position, you know, with our head between our knees and kind of waiting for life to hit us. But if we're going through that process as the self, it is completely different. It is, okay, here's another thing for us to to transcend, to look at. And from the self, it's completely a different story altogether. Much more power to do it. So I'd suggest looking at, you've said, you've said there that kind of sense of waiting for something bad to happen, looking at why is something bad going to happen? Why is something difficult? Why is this part of the process got to be extraordinarily difficult? Why are you feeling trapped in cause and effect? Do you feel it's just got to happen to you? Do you feel you've got to suffer through those? Do you feel that you have to just take it as it comes? Any feeling of being trapped or powerless over the, it's reflecting as powerless over the karmic patterns, isn't it? It's the origin, rather, is I'm powerless over these karmic patterns, and the reflection is I'm powerless over this physical pain. So are you really powerless ever? Of course, that seems very, very true from ego, but here's something to question. Isn't it true then that you're in complete control of this process when you really look at this idea? Are you a someone that these karmic patterns are happening to? Or are you the space, the infinite space of being in which these patterns are arising to transcend? And if you are a separate being, then you'll find you identify as being not good enough to deal with these when they come up. We all fear these patterns coming up somewhere inside because we feel we're not good enough to deal with them. The other shoe to drop is I'm waiting for life to slap me, or awakening to slap me, or something, a relationship breakup, a financial crisis, whatever it is, a family thing, then life's going to do that to me because I'm not good enough and I'm not going to be able to handle it in the way that I want to. So the physical pain here is reflecting back to you how powerless you feel over this whole process somewhere inside, of course, not consciously. Consciously, you might feel that you're really starting to see deeper. But dissolving the ego is where we're dissolving the old ways of ego, old ways of egoic thinking and separation. So does this have to be a horrible journey where you kind of dragged through it kicking and screaming and finally come out the other side? And boy, did I experience that for a long time until I really saw through this one, that I was making my awakening hard work, my life, in fact, hard work, because I still inherently felt not good enough. And I had to prove to myself that I was good enough by overcoming this epic battle. And there is no bigger battle that we see as ego than awakening, because we feel it's so hard and it's so difficult. And you can see the evidence of that belief in humanity, that only one in who knows how many have woken up in previous generations. It's now turning around, and you're turning that around inside yourself. Awakening is natural. It's happening spontaneously. We're only slowing it down with our beliefs. We're not stopping it. It cannot be stopped ever. And as the self, you have everything you need to do this, to move gracefully through this process. So have a look at those beliefs. You know, am I really just trapped in this? Am I ever powerless? Am I ever just got to go through it and just, you know, keep getting hit by? For me, it always felt like if we had seen one of those automatic machines and a tennis court where they're just firing balls, people are practicing their serve, except if you're not good at it, the balls are just coming out and you keep getting hit and hit and hit. Eventually, you learn to work with the ball and hit the ball away from you, obviously, as it comes to you. And that's how it is the self. You use what's coming at you to deepen your seeing, rather than kind of ego that's just like, don't hit me. Hopefully you can get a sense of that when you're listening to this. You have everything you need. You would not have the desire to awaken fully if it were not possible for you. There's just no other way. In fact, the desire to awaken fully and let go of all these issues and challenges of ego is evidence that it's already happening. The desire doesn't cause the awakening. It is a sign or a symptom that it is in fact already occurring. So as the self, you have everything you need just to question these beliefs that are coming up now and really reflecting as this pain. When you can, you know, in the moments when the pain is lesser, or when you feel calmer, don't try to climb a mountain if you're in a lot of pain at that particular moment. You know, be kind to yourself, recognize, and this goes for everyone, what an amazing job you're doing, and allow yourself to see your progress and feel your progress and see just how amazing you are doing. So I hope that helps, and I hope you feel much better soon physically too.
(Clears The next one is, I am experiencing what feels like the worst roller coaster of my life. Since taking the DTE course and joining the GP, realization has deepened. However, it feels as though the realization, while profound, is fleeting, and the suffering has become incredibly intense, painful, and continuous. I cannot seem to transcend this depression and underlying feelings of impending doom. A part of me did not want to write in and share this, as I feel like a student who just can't get it, and even with the seeing I have had. I continue to hear your voice telling me to start from the knowing that I am already that, and I am already free. I am still contemplating, is there really anything outside of me? But I am so closed off, it feels as though nothing I question penetrates my being at all. It just bounces off, and I feel even worse. I can't seem to focus on meditation either. There is, however, a positive change I recently noticed occurring. My intense fear of becoming sick has subsided, and my thoughts around this have become much less frequent. I did contemplate the belief around this a couple of weeks ago, and at the time did not feel like it had shifted at all. I am feeling like I just want to quit. Everything feels like an energy drain, and I cannot seem to replenish my vitality. I am certain this is happening because I am just not as dedicated as I need to be and feel I just don't have that dedication in me. I cannot help but feel unworthy. There is also something within me that does not trust the noumenon. I think I may be afraid of the unknowingness of it, and therefore unwilling to completely surrender. Deeply grateful for the love that flows through you and as you, that I am meant to receive. Much love.
Let me start by saying thank you for being brave enough to send that in. And from my perspective, you are absolutely perfect. I can't see anything wrong with any of you ever. And at the same time, I also remember feeling exactly how you're feeling right now. I remember being in that place where you just can't even find the strength to give up almost. It's just very, a very low place. And I want to tell you that this is not the time to be in deep inquiry. You can back off now with your inquiry a little bit. And I just want you to feel what you're feeling as best you can. So as you've noted, the reflection has changed, that your fear of becoming ill has lessened. And that is the only way we never really should listen to our thoughts about whether we're making progress or not. Whether we're making progress will be shown in the reflection. So am I worrying less and less day to day? Am I less and less obsessed with this issue that I've been obsessed with, you know, and you're seeing a change there. The reflection never lies. So if the reflection is changing, your experience in that situation is getting better, then it is working. You are breaking through, no matter what mind says. Mind cannot, ego cannot tell you whether you're making progress here. It is utterly unreliable in that way. So all that you need to do now is to recognize that these things, these deep, dark, heavy energies are coming up because, again, your success in your seeing. And you've come so far, so fast that these energies are coming up to be released so they'll never burden you again. When they come up, I want you to give them no meaning at all. And again, we're going to work on this in the whole of July. We're going to study this. They're just coming up, end of story. Notice the stories you give to that. It means I'm just not as, you've pointed to some of those in your homework. Two of the stories you've mentioned, I think you said something like that you're not good enough, one of them, you're not good enough to transcend this. And the other one that you're just not as devoted to this as you should be. And from my perspective, you're equally as devoted as I was and am still to the pathway to the truth. You couldn't get any more devoted if you tried, right? That's how it looks from my angle here. And I want you to recognize, again, mind can't, it's always looking for more, but it wants more because it feels there's not enough. More devotion because there's not enough, it says. More worthiness because there's not enough. So I want you to just lessen back with your questioning, because probably now your questioning is being sabotaged by ego, your inquiry, your contemplation, trying to fix this, trying to get out of this, trying to get back to a place of worthiness. Okay. And I just want you to feel what you're feeling when it comes up. However long this takes to pass, you know, the old saying, this too shall pass, and you'll come out the other side of it like a dark tunnel. However long it takes to pass is directly proportional to the meanings that you're giving to it. So as you give it no meaning, it's just what's happening. Or if you want to, give it the meaning that it's because I've succeeded in seeing deeper that this stuff no longer fits inside me. That's about the only meaning I'd suggest. Notice the other meanings and negative meanings and decide not to agree with those. You can do that right now. There is a myth somewhere in the human consciousness that an awakened being never feels a negative emotion ever again. And that's just not true. The difference is they don't suffer from them, and they eventually diminish in their frequency, and they much, much diminish. So I might not even notice if I'm feeling a negative emotion these days. And even if I do, it's only slight because I'm not giving it any meaning. I don't use it as a reference point. I don't say this should not be occurring if I am awakened, or this is evidence that I'm not where I want to be, or I'm not devoted enough. Can you hear ego talking? You are the one who is already perfect. And I know you don't feel that way right now. I'm not asking you to. Let these things come up. Let them come through. And you just be that space in which this tsunami is happening the best you can. Notice where you give it meaning. This shouldn't be happening because, or this is evidence of, anything that you'll put after the end of those words, you need to let go of. Don't do that to yourself anymore. There are in all of us some despair, some sadness, some grief, some fear, some unworthiness, residual energies of not getting what we want over and over and over, feeling hurt, lost, abandoned, over and over as a separate being, not recognizing we were stuck in cause and effect, causality loops. So that has to come out now, and it is doing. But when I really got what I'm telling you here, these dark nights of the soul or ego were, they went from being days and days and days to an hour and then minutes. And then when I actually looked back, it's like, I just felt a little bit less joyful for the last couple of days. That was the only way I would know. And it's dependent directly upon the meaning you're giving them. There is nothing I would ask you to do that you're not already doing. Now you're doing too much. Relax, let these energies come up and chill out if you can. Nobody enjoys this process, but you can get through it quicker as the self if you're not giving it meaning. What would the self do with these energies? And can you do that now? Don't even try to tune in. Don't even try to contemplate. Just see if you can let yourself feel what you're feeling. And don't buy any stories around it at all. It doesn't mean anything to me that these are coming up. And hopefully it won't mean anything to you. It's just what needs to come up. And there's some sludge in there, we used to call it, some sludge, some gunk in there at the bottom, these deep energies that we haven't wanted to feel. And they're coming up now because as a self, you can feel them, you can release them. You can feel them without identifying with them, and they can finally go. Every time these have come up before, we've identified with them, used them as evidence of our unworthiness and our lack of progress. Can you see that? So have a ponder on that. Recognize how amazing you are and see if you can see it how I would see it, even just for a moment. If we were sat chatting together, what would I say to you? Well, nothing different than I'm saying right now. That you just are always doing the best that you can. And by the time I end up having a conversation with anyone, their devotion is pretty damn perfect anyway to get to that point. They've worked out the bugs in it. It's really all we want anyway by this point, awakening. But other things too in the world, but awakening we want first so that the reflection can change. And that's all that's happening now. So give yourself a break. Give yourself a pat on the back and have a cup of tea or something. And just remember that you're always loved and there are always beings around you to help you. Always. And this too shall pass. But you don't need to slow it down by identifying with it. And when this washes through, your whole being will feel refreshed and cleansed and lighter and happier. These things have been weighing you down for lifetimes vibrationally, and they are leaving now, which is good news. It doesn't feel good, but they are packing their bags and off they go. So just let them leave. That's the best advice. Don't work so hard now with this. If you need to start some intense inquiry again later, you'll know, you'll feel it. Some question will suddenly become very exciting and important again. But right now, it's kind of the winter phase, isn't it? You've done a lot of the planting and reaping, sowing, planting, reaping and harvesting. And now it's just to sit back and let the effects of that work through the body mind, which is all that's occurring now. So wonderful. Thank you.
Dearest Helen, really grateful for your teachings and to be part of this Sangha. So glad to have found you. Just a bit of feedback. The contemplation questions you gave me on the DTE course, is it true that I cannot get what I want? Have helped me in many subtle and very tangible ways, especially in relationships with my sibling and my partner. Of course, I still get triggered, but in general, I feel a lightness, an ability not to get drawn into the drama and able to see the comical side of the situation. It's like I can take myself less seriously and accept that I really don't have the answer. This has lifted a sense that I need to do anything more, that is, than trust that everything is absolutely as it should be, even if it is messy and unresolved. As a result, the impasse I was feeling in my relationship has changed, and the pressure on me to make a decision or my sense of waiting on my partner to change seems no longer to be heavy. I feel a great sense of faith, of trusting that I can take my hands off the controls and that things will work out. That said, I do, however, worry at times that this is very convenient for someone like me, who is often caught in procrastination. Then again, I trust that the progress will continue, even though I do not feel that I live the noumenon to the same extent as many others on the path. I know that it is always here and that I simply have to unveil it, but my busy mind seems so often to be in the way, and my present question is about this. I feel I am able to listen to silence when I am sitting quietly in meditation, but it can feel like I'm going through the motions. In general, I feel peaceful and continue to hear and feel a buzzing, but it's only usually when I am in meditation and not in my day-to-day, and when I have physical pain, which I have quite frequently recently. I find it really challenging. It feels like a real battle. And I'm usually drawn right into the body and then find the discomfort distracting and stressful. I see that I should accept this also as awareness. It feels really difficult. Thank you for your insight. Much love.
So good to hear of your relationship challenges resolving. And isn't it nice just to be able to not take yourself so seriously? I remember being so very serious all the way through my awakening. And just to be able to sort of let go a little bit more and lighten up is such a gift, such a a different way to travel through life. And really, all that's happening now is that you're being shown the next area where there's a real seriousness still. And that's really, as you said, around physical pain. And of course, there would be around physical pain to some degree. But taking it lighter, taking it easier in this area really means, for me, if you find yourself distracted when there's pain like that, if you find that you've lost that kind of focus, or you feel like you're going through the motions with the contemplation, the inquiry, the meditation, in those moments, then it's okay, isn't it? Don't give it any meaning. There are going to be times when you feel distracted, where it feels more difficult to meditate than others. There's going to be times when we find it hard to stay focused on a contemplation question because of things going on in the reflection. So in this situation, the body. And overall, it doesn't affect your commitment. It doesn't affect your progress. It doesn't affect anything. It's just getting clearer where you're still really trying to work hard. Can you see where you're trying to effort? So more and more, I'm sliding back into silence. I'm just recognizing it's always here. It's just becoming a little bit more evident each day. And I might still have this idea that I'm not where I need to be or where other beings are in the graduate program or the Sangha in general, as we've talked about already in this segment. But I'm not taking that quite so seriously. I know that it's happening anyway. I'm relaxing more. And now life is showing me an area where I'm still quite tense and trying to really make something happen, where I'm still trying to work hard. So this is what happened for me, that I would let go in a general way. Some surrender would just happen inside somehow from the inquiry and the contemplation and the meditation. Then life would show me, okay, now apply it here. So if you're distracted, be distracted. Don't try to change that at all. As soon as you can, afterwards, you know, bring your attention back. You'll probably naturally go back to silence anyway, more and more. I just want you to see that this doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. It's just where you're still trying to get somewhere as an egoic sense of self, where you're still operating as an egoic sense of self, a separate sense of being someone in this particular area, trying to overcome the pain, maybe trying to not suffer from it or something like that, trying to stay focused when it happens. And physical pain is an amazing teacher, that there's times that attention is going to go to it. Attention is going to move somewhere that we want it to be. In those moments, there's nothing you can do about it at all. And it's okay. It's okay just to say, okay, my attention wandered to this pain and stayed there for quite some time, but I was noticing it. That's lesson one. That is lesson one right there. I noticed where my attention went. I was aware of it. And it'd be nice if it didn't do that, but it did. So am I going to make anything more of it than that? Lesson one again says, bring attention back to the noumenon when you can. It doesn't say, first beat yourself up because your attention wandered and then berate yourself. And then, I'm not saying that you're doing that. I'm just kind of emphasizing for clarity here. It just says, when attention wanders, bring it back to the noumenon as soon as you can. And that as soon as you can, it doesn't matter whether it's 10 seconds or 10 hours. And as you relax more into that, it's going to come back automatically and effortlessly. Don't try to fix anything here in this area of your life. See if you can relax a little more around it, give it a little less meaning. See what comes out of that when you really let it deepen there. You're doing so well. You're starting to really see changes in reflection, which is great evidence of it, of the beliefs being let go of. And here is just one area where a belief is still being held onto, that you need to do something about this, you need to fix it, or something like that. Have a look. Notice when the pain comes up, is there suddenly a sense of someone that needs to do something about it that's kind of identified with, and attention wanders then, and it's okay, isn't it? Just to see what's going on in those moments will give you a lot of clarity. Don't try to make any effort in those times and just see what happens. So have a play with that and see if you need a little more guidance, just get back to me and let me know, and we'll tweak it from there. But I think you'll find it not taking yourself so seriously in this area too will be a huge benefit. It's just life saying, okay, you've got that now, let's apply it here. Wonderful.
And this will be the last one in this section. Namaste, Helen. I want to start by apologising to the worldwide Sangha group I was in this morning. I swore, so sorry for that. I wouldn't normally swear. However, I was so paying attention or believing all mind was saying, it just popped out. Mind started commenting and comparing and chattering halfway through the satsang intensive after everyone was sharing, having all these brilliant experiential experiences of being. Jealousy, then shame at feeling that, then guilt. I've lost what seeing I had. And it got worse as the day went. Guess I wanted to feel all of it, to the point mind said, you might as well quit. You'll never get awareness or self back. Ha. It seems as if any seeing or knowing I had left with no forwarding address, and mind was screaming loud and clear, you've lost it. Thank God for you, Helen, for having Sangha groups. The people were all so wonderful, so valuable and wonderful at sharing their experiences and talking about your teachings and guiding me to the truth. I'm so very grateful. And as I listen to your recordings of the intensive, I ask your question, where is my attention in this moment? On that which is changing, moving, or making noise, or on that which is stable and relaxing simplicity. Much love and gratitude for the Satsang Intensive, Helen, as it was a direct route into noticing what I am not. No matter how loud mine gets, keep practicing, keep coming back to truth again and again. So many blessings came from this egoic storm, and there may be more ahead, you think? What I know for sure, there is light, love, support and guidance available. Don't be afraid to ask. And don't take your egoic self so seriously. You really won't know any better until you do. Blessings and light.
Was that, it really won't know any better till you do?
Yes, it really won't know any better until you do.
I love that. Wonderful.
Yeah.
So, that's, and don't worry about the swearing. I think we've all been there once or twice or several times. We've all had those moments where there's a storm, as you said. And I love, you know, you're seeing as far as you come has gone and left no forwarding address. It just seems to be completely unavailable in that moment. I'm chuckling now, but it's not funny when we're going through it, of course. And your attitude is great here that, you know, we all just have those moments, and I don't need to take my egoic sense of self so seriously, because as you said, it will take itself seriously as long as I am doing that. There will be these storms of ego. There will be these dark moments, as we've come across in a couple of the homeworks already. An intensive, as I said before, or a retreat or even any class is going to bring that up. Life is going to bring that up. And especially if beings are speaking about how they're breaking through, how it's getting clearer for them, you know, immediately ego goes into overdrive. Well, you know, that's not happening for me. I've lost everything that I've seen. I can't access it. It's gone. I've done something wrong. I failed, it seems completely out of my purview right now to have that occur. So if you can recognize that as we said in lesson one is bring attention back to the truth, as you said so well in your homework. All we need to do is keep bringing attention back when we can. If a lot of attention goes to a certain thought or feeling or experience habitually, then we can use contemplation to begin to undo the interest in that thought by questioning it if it's true. And really, the thought that is getting your attention right now is that you can lose this, that you've lost it. That's what's coming up now for you to challenge in that process. You have had some level of seeing, and that is deepening like it is for all of us. And in order for that seeing to stay and be a constant, effortless thing, experience, condition, we have to challenge these thoughts that are going to interrupt that. And one of these thoughts, of course, is, I can lose this. I can lose this. I've done something wrong. It's gone. So if you can see that this is the experience you had during the intensive, experiencing losing it, so that you can question, well, is it true I can lose it? Actually, if I am it, this one got me too for a while. Kept experiencing losing it, getting it over and over again. And eventually came back to this recognition that I can't lose it if I am it. So whether I'm watching clarity, insights, aha moments, or darkness, some despair, some fear, an experience I'd rather not have, I'm just watching. And as I give that less and less meaning, it doesn't mean I've lost anything. Doesn't mean I haven't got as far as I thought I had. Doesn't mean anything, in fact. It's just what the body and mind are feeling right now. And of course, I prefer not to feel it, but I am feeling it. So if then we can see that it's clearer, hopefully, that this will work its way through. And as I don't identify with it or identify with it less, I'll come out of it quicker. These energies have to come up. The sense of jealousy, especially. I've lost what I had, and that being is showing me what I've reminded me what I've lost. That being that I'm looking at and feeling jealous of. Then we're going to come back to kind of a sense of clarity much quicker. We're going to come back to a sense of wholeness much quicker. There's a whole theme running through this set of homeworks, isn't there? Can you see? And it's exactly what we're going to work on in this July. How to step out of this ultimate causality loop, really, of I'm not there yet. And whatever it is that we allow to suggest that thought to as I'm not there yet is different for each of us, but we all deal with it in the same way. We all try harder, strive harder, and of course, go around one more time around the loop. So I hope that helps, and thank you, and appreciate your apology, but I'm sure everyone understood that we've all been there, absolutely. Wonderful. So that brings us to the close of part one. We will be back with the rest of the homework in part two. Thank you very much. Namaste.